Good morning and welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to worship on this fifth Sunday of Easter. It is so good to be back with you live streaming. Deacon Bill and Cantor Dave and I welcome you to worship as we kind of begin this brand new era of worshiping together via live streaming with Zooming. A very blessed and joy-filled Mother's Day to all who nurture and love and care for our children, moms and grandmoms and stepmoms and teachers and aunts and sisters. And I pray that you will have a day full of love and caring. So Monday night at our ministry night meeting via Zoom, Deacon Bill led us in a devotional that reminded us of something very, very important. Being thankful. It was from Philippians. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. So every Sunday morning in our welcome time, for the foreseeable future, I'm going to share with you expressions of thanks that I'm hoping you will email me that I can share with on Sunday morning. So I'd like you to email me what you are thankful for during these days, and I won't necessarily use your name. So today, I am so grateful for technology and the work that so many have done for us so that we can be together in worship. Thanks to technology and your very faithful financial gifts for the work of the Ministry of St. Matthew, our work and our ministry is able to continue. We're able to thrive and reach out with the good news of Jesus Christ. So, what are you thankful for? So please email me what you are thankful for. So, just a couple announcements. Here's an idea for children and adults alike. Create cards for our shut-ins. Mail them to them yourself or drop off in our mail slot outside and Kim will mail them for you. We want to stay in contact with one another as much as possible, and our homebound would absolutely love receiving your cards. And just a quick reminder, there are ELWs and devotional books in the box outside the main entrance to the church. So here is my COVID-19 word for today, a little bit different than what I've done in the past. This one's from Julian of Norwich, a 14th century mystic. Teach us to believe that by your grace, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. We will stay live for about a half an hour following worship so you can chat with each other and visit a little bit. And so now as we gather for worship, my prayer is that our time together will be a time of peace and hope and grace for each one of you. We begin with a brief order for confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors or families or friends or ourselves. And for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. And free us from the urge to speak with haste, offending those we fail to fully understand. Let our words always honor your wondrous love so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was driven to die for each one of us. And for his sake, God forgives all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to each one of you the entire forgiveness of all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us grace to love one another, to follow in the ways of his commandments, and to share his risen life with all the world. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So good morning, kids. I'm hoping that you're up and out of bed and that you're sitting on the couch with mom and dad and in your jammies, that you've eaten breakfast. So I'm wondering, Kate and Nate, are you there? Jillian and Elizabeth, Christopher, Olivia, Allie. I'm not coming to Sunday school today, but I'll be there next week. Rachel and David, Annie, Harrison, Benjamin, Grace, Brian. Don't know if I have everybody, but welcome, welcome to watching worship on TV almost, right? By Zooming. This is so much fun. So today, I'm not going to look at the lessons with you, but I'm just going to talk about, because today's a very special day. Today's Mother's Day. And I'm sure, knowing all of you kids, that you've been making cards for your mom and doing special things for her today. And so I wanted to talk to you about another mom that we don't hear very much about, because Jesus had a mom also. Her name was Mary. And I'm sure that Mary did the very same things for Jesus that your mom does for you. She cooked his meals. She helped him learn how to read. When he fell and bumped his knee, she gave him a kiss on the knee. And there was one time in the Gospels, in the story, because we only hear about Mary kind of two times, when Jesus was born, and then another time when Jesus was 12 years old. And they went to the temple, and all of a sudden, Joseph and Mary couldn't find Jesus. He was lost, or they thought he was lost. And they were panicky, just like your mom and dad get panicky if you get lost in the store. And they went back and they found him, and Jesus said, "Mom, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is where I'm supposed to be." But then he followed him and went home. So let's thank God today for our wonderful moms. Dear Jesus, thank you for giving us moms who kiss our knees, who cook us breakfast, who teach us how to make scrambled eggs, who teach us to read, who give us big hugs and say goodnight prayers with us when we go to bed. Thank you for Jesus and for his mom, Mary. Amen.
Last week I mentioned that the readings that we choose from the Sundays and Seasons worship guide, some of them have a contextual comment. We did that last week, and we're going to do that again this week. The comment for the first reading, which is Acts chapter 7, verses 55 through 60. The comment reads, "Stephen was one of the seven men chosen by the apostles to serve tables so that the apostles could be free to serve the word. Stephen does more than distribute food, however. For his preaching of God's word, he became the first martyr of the faith." And the reading begins, "Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 'Look,' he said, 'I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' When he had said this, he died." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Incline your ear to me. Make haste to deliver me. Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. For you are my crag and my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that they have secretly set for me. For you are my tower of strength. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Into your hands I commend my spirit. For you have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
Our second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. And our comment, Christ is the cornerstone of God's saving work and the foundation of our lives. We are God's chosen, holy people who continuously celebrate and declare the mercy of God we experience through Jesus Christ. And the reading, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that was rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And the introduction reads, on the night that he is to be arrested, Jesus shares final words with his disciples, and as the one through whom God is known, he promises to go before them and act on their behalf. Jesus said to the disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. And he's back. Who are you asking? Who's back? Well, one of our very favorite people. One we so easily identify with ourselves. Remember the Dense Dozen and their close friend Thomas, who was having so much trouble believing on the second Sunday of Easter? Well, he's back this morning, and he's talking to Jesus and sounding a bit like you and me again. Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And after the past 3 weeks of stories following Jesus' resurrection, doubting Thomas, the road to Emmaus, and last week, Jesus is our good shepherd, today we are back to Maundy Thursday and the story of Jesus preparing his disciples for imminent departure. This is the night before his crucifixion, a night full of fear and confusion. I also hear notes of downright protest in our text. There is down-to-earth, painful frustration in Thomas' exclamation and his question. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we possibly know the way? Come on, Jesus, we don't know the way. So let me digress for a moment from back in Jesus' day to today. How many of you have been to a circus or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? The artists perform aerial stunts that cause my stomach to flip-flop, hanging onto a rope with their teeth as they twirl around and around, flying through the air with the greatest of ease, or so it seems. As a society as a whole, as a church, we are all in a time when it seems like we are flying through the air. We are in transition from one way of living to another. For instance, air pollution is so much improved. People are finding new ways to communicate with one another. And I have to admit, at times, life seems kinder to me. People don't seem as rushed. And I am not a Pollyanna. I do know the flip side. It's as if we are all on a flying trapeze, getting ready to let go and fly through the air. But when we let go, we are trusting that the bar that we're supposed to grab is going to be right there for us to grab. We are having to let go of one trapeze, the way things always were, and flying into a whole new world where we can't yet see the new trapeze. This morning, worshiping via Zoom is a wonderful example of that. In order for our churches to reopen, for instance, we will need to let go of the trappings we are so comfortable with. And number one, we cannot and will not reopen until we are given permission to do so by the governor. But when we do, we're going to need to let go of a trapeze that we're so comfortable with and have loved for all of our life. Coffee hours, potluck dinners, gathering in the narthex to visit, singing. And at the same time, reach out for a new one that we can't yet imagine or see or feel. Our newest accessory will not be a new tie or pair of shoes, but rather our face mask. And I think Thomas's words this morning ring so true for us. Lord, these days we just don't know where we're going. How can we know the way? We don't know the way, my dear brothers and sisters. It's absolutely true that on the one hand, we don't know the way. It's also new. But on the other hand, we need not be afraid to trust our unknown future to a God that we know so well in our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is what we hear in the gospel this morning. You and I are voicing words of lament these days, isolation and confusion and sadness and desperation and loss and fear and more, I am hearing anger. Anger that the churches cannot reopen. Anger that people can't go back to work. And in response to our lament, Jesus' words offer comfort and hold out promises to us. Promises made by the one who is so acquainted with sorrow and confusion and disappointment and anger. Remember Jesus in the temple? And yes, lament. Jesus, after all, is the Word made flesh, who dwelt among us, the eternal Word of God, who took on our flesh, sharing our lot and our life, that we know might know that God not only cares about us, but understands us. Our trust for the future is in a known God, whose only Son bore our sins to the cross. His Son has risen as he promised and goes ahead of us into our world. Biblical lament was crucial in giving voice to all that is difficult to understand and to endure, precisely to clear a space in which for us to hear a word from God and hear it as authentic and meaningful. So we do need to voice our fear and pain, but they are not our only reality. Those feelings don't invalidate all that is so good in our lives. And they are not the only words voicing. The God Jesus shows us is not unmoved or dispassionate, but rather is passionately engaged in our life, pledged to our welfare, and committed to bringing us through all things so that we have not just life, but abundant life in Jesus' name. So when you and I cry out with Thomas, we just don't know the way, and we feel no reproach or guilt that such words aren't faithful enough, then and only then can we trust that Jesus is the way, and that way includes the cross, which ultimately leads toward resurrection and new life, a new trapeze bar to hang on to. No one ever said that faith makes life easier, neither the Bible nor history. Rather, our life of faith makes things richer and more meaningful. And sometimes That means just getting by, and at other times it means flourishing, even in the most challenging of circumstances. But always, always, it means that we do not travel alone. We are baptized into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. You and I walk through life wet, soaking wet. We travel with the presence of God, the one revealed in the person of Jesus. And when the resurrected Jesus meets the disciples in the locked room on Easter evening, he doesn't say, well, now, folks, everything's going to be smooth sailing, or that because he has defeated death, that now life will be a piece of cake. Rather, Jesus breathes on them the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the comforter, the encourager, and the helper. Why? Because across the rest of their lives and their ministries so many years ago, and our lives and our ministries today in 2020, we are going to need on a regular basis advocacy and comfort and encouragement and help. My dear siblings in Christ, I miss all of you, and I know some of you are angry that we cannot open the church. But I want you back in your assigned seats, healthy and whole, with no one missing because of COVID-19. I hope you are able to believe that we need not be afraid to trust our unknown future to a known God. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Our hymn of the day is 389, Christ is Alive. Uplifted by the promise of hope, of healing, and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and places, praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for those convalescing, homebound, and all affected by this current social quarantine and isolation, for our first responders, military members and their families, doctors, nurses, medical technicians, putting themselves in the forefront battling this dreadful virus. We pray and lift up before you Ethan Gear and his family this day upon the death of his mom. We pray for Jack and John and Willie and Patricia, for the call committee and call process, for Stephen Ministry caregivers and receivers, and those we name now silently in our hearts or out loud on our lips. Bring healing and relief to all, and give us hope in the promise of new and eternal life, where pain and suffering will be no more.
Our response today is, hear our prayer. Build us up, Mother and God, as living stones united in your spiritual house. Continually strengthen your church as it is sent forth to proclaim your love. We pray especially for new congregations and those like St. Matthew in redevelopment. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Humble us, Creator God, as part of your creation. Fill us with respect and awe for the world you have made, including volcanoes, ocean currents, tropical rainstorms, glaciers, and other forces that both destroy and create. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Align our ways to your love, O God. We pray for countries, leaders, and other organizations as they prepare places for those seeking refuge and safety, especially during these uncertain times. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of healing and rest, help those whose hearts are heavy and weighed down by many troubles. Comfort their suffering, ease their distress, uplift their spirits, and carry their burdens. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Nurturing God, we pray for those who tend and teach young children, for the safe pregnancies of expectant parents, and for families who struggle with infertility and miscarriage. We give thanks for all who have shown mothering care, and we remember all for whom this Mother's Day is difficult. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Generous God, you call into your brilliant light all who have died. Give us faith to take hold of the promise of your eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please join now as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today, this day, our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
And now, may the one who brought forth Jesus from the dead raise you to new life, fill you with hope, and turn your mourning into dancing. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Christ is risen, just as he said. Go in peace, share the good news. Alleluia. Stay safe. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.